On the line now, I have editor of the Northside People, Padraig Conlon. Good afternoon, Padraig.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm good, and how are you? How is business?
Good, thanks. Yeah, busy. Things starting to pick up again now. We're well into 2022.
Yeah. The weeks are just flying in, aren't they?
Yeah, big time. It's nice to see the kind of move away from talking about COVID so much as well.
Yeah, get a couple of nice stories out there. I'm looking at one here. Northside student wins National Carbon Monoxide Safety Competition. What's that all that about?
Yeah, that was, it hasn't been in the paper yet. That was from earlier in the week on the website. Sorry, I was about to sneeze.
God bless you.
Yeah, we've a few happier stories coming in next week's paper. So we're trying to move away from some of the kind of, you know, bad news we've had to report on over the last while. And obviously, excuse me, this was one of them. So student Sophie O'Driscoll, who's a fifth class student in Scoil Catrina, Callini National School in Coolock. She was the winner earlier this week of a nationwide poster competition to raise awareness of carbon monoxide and the dangers it poses in homes. That's brilliant for her. It's a national competition. It was done in association with, I think it was Gas Networks Ireland. So it's a great thing to win when you're in fifth class, to win a national award. So fair play to Sophie's teacher, Katie Doyle. You know, obviously said that they're all very proud of her, and you know, all the pupils, the sixth class pupils, well engaged in the poster competition. Fair play to them there. It's nice to win something like that.
Yeah, it is. That's a good news story. I'm actually on the website here because I keep forgetting they don't have copies of the Northside People in the Civic Centre here.
We'll have to sort that out then. So absolutely.
It used to be down there, and it was great, you know, because we could take it and cover things from it. Now I spoke to Fianna Fáil councillor Keith Connolly earlier about the dog fouling. Did you cover that?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that was my colleague Gary covered that. This is something that's been coming up. It's come up every year for the last 5 years at least. It's a problem all over Dublin, and it's confined to the north side. As the story, I think Keita drew attention to, he did a check on how many people had been actually issued fines for.
27.
It was only 27, yeah.
Over the last 5 years, it's crazy.
It's kind of mind boggles, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
What kind of mentality do people have?
It's mad. Anyway, anything else jump out at you that you'd like to mention?
Well, from the paper this week, we have my colleague Gary covers a story that I suppose could be big changes in the city, that city council are proposing to scrap building height limits. So we could see buildings of up to 30 stories if this gets the go ahead, which I don't know, we're going to have to do something, because I suppose you were aware today the latest rental figures from Daft, the rents have gone up again now in Dublin. I think they went up 8, nearly 9% in the last quarter last year in comparison to the year before, with I think the average rent now is over 2,000 euros a month in Dublin, which is obviously unsustainable for, you know, people spending like 70% of their wages on rent. It's just not, it's not good. So obviously with this, you know, Irish, we have kind of an aversion to, I suppose, tower blocks and skyscrapers and stuff like that there. But as I said, the city council are proposing to scrap the height limits. This is going to be included in the Dublin development plan for the next 6 years. They say, like, you know, they want to avoid clustering of buildings. They want to avoid, obviously, building them in areas where, you know, obviously this residents won't be affected. They say that there are key urban villages, or KUVs, that they have kind of picked out around the city where they may go higher. For example, one of them would be Finglas. Rathmines is another one. I'd imagine it's going to be controversial, this. I don't know, where would you stand yourself on it? Would you like to see them go higher in the
city?
No way.
I interview residents' associations and councillors, and there's like, even 10 stories is too high in built up areas. It's crazy.
Oh, in built up areas, absolutely, I agree.
You know, and no, I wouldn't like to see big, huge, high skyscraper things, you know. That it doesn't do the areas any good at all. What? How do you feel about it?
Well, it's just at the moment, obviously, with supply, been shockingly unable to meet demand, and not likely to get better for another, because obviously construction was, paused during the pandemic. I don't know. I think we have to do something. Obviously, I agree. I don't, want to see 20, 30 story blocks in, residential areas where there's already, people living. But I think if they can identify places, that don't, maybe we got to think of going up, maybe not 30 meters, but going up a little bit, because something needs to be done drastically, because the supply of property isn't gonna change that much in the next few years. But I agree with you, it's a thorny issue.
It is.
You've got to take into account, people who are already living. I've done stories on this, people living, in around the financial services, and near the tree arena, what used to be the point. They've, over the last decade, basically around their homes, it's been a building site. They've lost light, everything out there, because of these taller buildings. But it's gonna be a contentious one. But something I think we have to try and kind of meet in the middle, though. Nobody wants to see,
It also depends on what they're going to build. Are they going to build built to rent? Are they going to? Will they be affordable? There's a lot of stuff to. Who's proposing this anyway?
The council. This is the draft plan for the Dublin City Development Plan for 2022 to 2028. So going to be, this is obviously the draft, so maybe they're flying kites as well, and they want to get feedback, and there will be a consultation on this. Apparently it's going to on the draft plan, and consultation stays open, I think, until next Monday, but I think it's going to be discussed, and we'll see what happens there. But it's a thorny one, as I said. I wouldn't like to be the people trying to drive it, because 30 stories for Dublin city centre would be huge. The biggest at the moment is Capital Dock. That's 20 stories, and it sticks out like a sore thumb. And interestingly enough, a friend of mine lives straight across the river from it.
Yeah.
Supposedly it's practically empty as well. It has been for the last, since it was built. He literally looks over at, a lot of evenings, lights are all off, there's nobody in it, so it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so many people. That's what I was going to say. There's so many people looking for homes, and there's places lying empty all over the place. It's madness.
Yeah, exactly. It's this has been discussed for the last few years as well. So now we're talking about vacant homes. Instead of just somebody, taking the initiative, the housing minister taking the initiative of bringing in legislation. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze again. Sorry. Bringing in legislation to speed this up. We're still going to be here in another few years, I reckon, talking about, there's all these empty buildings in Dublin, and what's someone going to do about it? All the councils, this has been brought to the councils. Awesome. I've covered stories on this since about 2018, 4 years ago. Council property lying empty. It's still, here we are, 2022, and nothing seems to be happening on it, so we just have to,
As you said earlier, the rents in Dublin are up again. We'll change the subject. We'll try and talk about something pleasant. this is a Southside piece that you could cover yourself. Loretta Crumlin, student in Speak Out Ireland. What's that about? Yeah. Is that something to do with mental health?
Well, this was Speak Out Ireland is a competition that was launched during the pandemic for students in secondary school all across the country. So it was all across the island. It's a speech writing and performing competition, and it was just announced this morning that the winner of the first one is a student from Loretto College of Crumlin, Ekaina Chokwenzi. I can't pronounce her second name. She's the inaugural winner. She's very highly commended. The judges have said, you know, her speech was, you know, absolutely blew away the competition. She's an accomplished musician, apparently, debater, and aspiring medical student. And so, you know, this wonderful thing to win this early in her education. You can listen to it back on YouTube, and you know, fair play to her, more power. And it's great to see the Dubs represented in these nationwide competitions.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And I'm looking here, and Garda Síochána marks 100 anniversary this year.
Yeah, exactly. It's they're gonna. So I suppose then there's people saying, you know, how are we going to, you know, mark it? So it's today actually marks the, was this day 100 years ago. A meeting was called by Michael Collins in the Gresham Hotel to set up a police force. So apparently there's a few plans being drawn up. There's commemorations are going to take place this month in May and August, apparently Dublin Castle. And there's talk of, well, it's been organised a national event to commemorate the day that the first commissioner Michael Staines led Gardaí into Dublin Castle. So in a statement, Drew Harris, who's the Garda commissioner, you know, welcomed obviously the news of the commemorations, and you know, it'll be a chance for them to honour the brave and courageous you know, Garda Síochána members of the last century. And it also comes the same week. Did you see the, what do you think of the new uniforms?
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of them?
they're nice enough. No, but,
yeah, there was, the feedback was just on our social media when we were up. Yeah, a few people were saying it looks kind of like a little bit like kind of security guard uniforms, but it was kind of overall positive response to them. Like, look, apparently they're contemporary. Like, so it's only the third time that they've changed the uniform in 100 years, apparently. So
yeah, so they're doing
a bit of history there.
Yeah, so they're doing it on the anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. I'm sure there'll be plenty of interest and stuff coming out. I'm mad into any kind of history stories about the country, like, so I'll be following all that with interest.
Okay, we'll talk about that as well. The winter Olympic Games in Beijing, is that what they're called? They're not getting much. They don't seem to be getting much coverage on mainstream media. How are they going? How is Team Ireland doing?
No medals or anything yet so far.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were expected to win any. We don't really have a tradition of winter sports in this country. So we shared a story today. One of our snowboarders, Seamus O'Connor, he was raised in California, but his father's parents, one of his father's parents was from Dublin, so he qualifies for Ireland through his grandparents. So he actually made history today. He was the first Irish athlete to ever compete in three Olympic Games, and he's still only 24. And now he didn't win, but apparently he put in a good performance. He came 15th in the half pipe. I don't know too much about winter Olympics, to be honest. Wouldn't be really my forte.
No.
Have you watched any of that?
No, I wouldn't be that interested. As you say, there's not much interest in Ireland, you know, because of the sports that are taking place. So how is the readers page coming along? The letters
good,
page?
Yeah, there's plenty of bit of back and forth there as well between a few readers. A few issues being thrashed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going well, and it's So once again, I was repeating myself, but everyone please feel free to get in touch with us, because we enjoy you know, publishing the letters, and it's something I know a lot of people enjoy reading as well. So we want to devote more space to it as well. At the moment we're just on the one page, so just keep sending the letters, obviously by email as well, is all good. And all the usual, you know, any local stories you'd like us to cover, anything got there, absolutely. And looking forward to this meeting up with you for a coffee now that
Definitely, yes,
restrictions have been lifted. Yeah, exactly.
And get you into the studio as well.
I'd love that, absolutely, John. I'd love that. Yeah,
exactly. To have a look around. Yeah, exactly. I'll see what I can do between now and the next time we speak. And I'll get on to
that. Exactly, that'd be great.
Okay, exactly. Listen, thanks very much,
John.
Once again.
No worries, John. I'm sorry, excuse me about the sneezing there, John.
You're okay.
I hope it's not COVID.
At least we can't catch it over the phone.
Well, exactly. I've managed to avoid it for 2 years, so it would be ironic.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay, Padraig, listen, now we'll talk again in
Cheers,
a couple
John.
Of weeks. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, John. Thanks very much.